You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With that, time's yours.
Not quite to the midway point of Super Bowl week. Here we are again on Time's Ours. I'm afraid that that sentence may have sent Nate Taylor into some sort of death spiral just because it feels like Friday. As we record this right now, it is Tuesday, and just 2 days of 97 concurrent press conferences has really given me personally just sort of a coach speak overload at this point. Just sort of, useless banter overload. Although I do know now that lots of people do in fact care that Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach. That's come up a couple of times. That's what we've gotten through 2 days of Super Bowl week so far. We'll talk about some of the most interesting pieces. A few things that'll come out of the pressers. A few things that I know that Nate Taylor, the aforementioned, and our own Seth Kizer has worked on and is working on in the days to come. Nate, how have you enjoyed this Monday and Tuesday of virtual Super Bowl media week?
I haven't slept, literally. it's been wild. Here's one of, I'm just going to sprinkle in some really awkward human interactions,
Good.
via Zoom. So in a odd twist, the NFL was like, well, they've been doing Zooms all year. We're like, you could see the person asking the question. Nah, we ain't going to do that. So Steve Spagnuolo rolls up today in his seat. He's like, this is where I am. Cool. You still 6 feet. All right, cool. I'm supposed to look in the camera. Where's everybody at? But seriously, like, I don't see anybody's face. And we wasted 2 minutes of, finding some information, some morsel out there. We wasted 2 minutes on Steve Spagnuolo being like, hey, I can't see. It just looks like I'm talking to me. He literally said that. Patrick Mahomes looked refreshed on Monday, looked tired today, okay? How did we find a way to make NFL Super Bowl week more demanding on all of our bodies? I don't know. I mean,
and it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Like, 1 minute Frank Clark was in like Frank Clark mode, and I was like, oh my god, this is just like back in 2019. It's just like I'm in the locker room. He's like, what up, Nate? Let's chop it. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, this is not with my question. Okay, maybe 4 minutes later, he put his sunglasses on.
Yes.
And I couldn't tell if he was napping or not. Like, so. Hey, it's going to get better, right? It's only going to get better. Seth, I'm sure you have something to add here, but I'm just going from Zoom to Zoom, not knowing what the conversation has been before, what it's been now, where is it going in the future? Can I say one more thing, guys?
Always.
I tried, and I hope Mike Kafka hears this, because he knows how the games play. He's been doing this a long time. I did one of the most veteran moves out of the deck. I got a card. It's like a king, and it's like, okay, only an ace or a joker can beat me. I feel good right now. Mike Kafka, you've been a veteran backup quarterback in this league. What'd you think about your boy Chad Henne? Gave a pretty good answer. He was like, I was so happy for him. Like, you could tell that Mike Kafka kind of lifted him because he never got an opportunity to play in a postseason game. Really cool. I've got him. I've set him up. All right. My follow-up is, can you tell me something that Patrick Mahomes did that made you go, holy mother, you know what? And then Mike Kafka smiled at me, saw what was coming, and said, here's my ace of spades. He does it all the time, there's not just one time. Sir, I need it for a story with specific details.
Yeah, look, please. This is the only time.
Right. We get you like 5 times a year. And that's not your problem. That's more of a league and, you know, how much the team is willing to give assistant coaches. Because, you know, they may slip up more than the old grizzled Andy Reid. But it was, this is just Super Bowl week, guys. Trying to get something that is of use. And, hey, tip your cap. All these dudes have been here before. It isn't like last year where, like, there were so many things that the Chiefs said. And I was just like, you know this Super Bowl week, dog. Like, you know you shouldn't be saying that. But they're more veteran now. I've talked for 4 minutes. I'm completely exhausted. I'll be over here with my sunglasses on taking a nap.
Super Bowl week. You know, fortunately for me, nothing really changes for me. So, you know... I'm finding myself as the week goes along, a strange amount of zen about Super Bowl week. I find myself less nervous than I was when we recorded many moons ago.
Yes.
In our first podcast of the week, which came up yesterday. So maybe some things are changing. I'm just finding myself pretty zen right now. Like, I'm finding myself in a pretty good place, just trying to provide some content. And I'm even finding myself kind of zen about that. It's like, you know what? I'll write a few articles, but I don't know. I don't feel the need to write an article a day. Maybe I will.
You just be you, Seth.
I'm just gonna do my thing. You know what? If we're just ourselves, I'll take us over anyone. We just need to be ourselves. I've been listening to a lot of Patrick Mahomes, hype up speeches and inspirational quotes, and all I know is you do it every single day, and every single day be yourself.
And now, you go make a play.
Yeah, I'm going to make a play.
You're going to make a play, Josh.
I'm going to make a play every single day while I'm being myself.
We're just trying to be successful. We're trying to have success. We're trying to be successful. That's really it.
Hey, look at me. You're going to make a play, dog.
Nate, I can't see your eyes with those sunglasses. Just saying that.
I think about that, you know, Mahomes coming up to Hardman and bringing him up. And it was awesome that him and Kelsey were just encouraging them. It's cool that you see that team, they don't start sniping at each other, right? Because it'd be real easy to be like, God, McCole, come on, you know.
Right.
But that doesn't help.
Especially
anyone.
When you muffed a punt in week 17, homie.
Right. And it's just like, it really has become one of those things. They've taken on a lot of Andy Reid's characteristics where Andy Reid doesn't do that, right? Mm. After a guy throws, you know, now he might, unless you're a running back who fumbles, then God help you. Because he's not going to yell at you, but you will not touch the ball for several games. Like, that is just the God's truth.
I wish, by the way, if we could inject some truth serum, why is that? Like, why is that the ultimate, like, go into the dungeon, see in 6 weeks?
It's the only one with him. To be fair, I think it's also because I think, you know, the Chiefs since Charles, and, you know, they've treated Clyde kind of a little bit differently than they have previous guys. It's been more of a, you know, various different guys sharing the load. So maybe he's just comfortable going right to someone. Because not like Jamal never fumbled, and they'd go right back to him. So I think it depends on who you are a little bit, but that is his deal. But the thing that I noticed is that they're not just, they picked up Mecole Hardman, you know, they were being encouraging. But one thing I noticed, like, because he wanted to be alone, right? He wanted just people to leave him alone. But you notice when it's Patrick Mahomes saying, hey, look at me. You know what he did? He looked at him. Because you will not ignore the franchise. Because he wasn't rude about it, but he didn't really acknowledge Kelsey. But when Mahomes came over there, like he acknowledged Mahomes more than the coordinator, more than his receivers coach. And I just think that's really funny because when Patrick Mahomes talks to you, you better listen. And it's just, it's an interesting moment where you see that because we joke around that Mahomes says a lot of the same things and he's always saying quarterback stuff.
But it's all authentic. Like, we should make that very clear. You know, it's very authentic.
He is very authentic. And you can also see in those moments, like, the fact that that team belongs to Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Like, when you've got, like, you know, even little things, and I don't think it was really that big a deal. People made a big deal about it that need to be. But when Jefferson yelled something at Kirk Cousins, like, you know, hey, throw the ball, please. It was something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Come on, Kirk!
That, can you picture Tyreek yelling that at,
at Mahomes or anyone on the team. Maybe, I because they seem to have a pretty good relationship. But, like, there's just a different thing. It's interesting seeing a team that has, like, genuine alphas on both sides of the ball where it's like the pecking order is super clear. And I think that's just helpful for a team in when you get down in those situations. I don't know. I just thought that was fascinating since you brought it up with the whole look at me thing.
Nate, what's the weirdest thing you've done this week? Because this morning I did an interview on a Quebec French radio station. I had to have a translator.
That's just
not a joke.
You're gonna way outpace me. How
it's
about
just something
like
I've thought about every 10 minutes since then.
look. Here's this was not me. Although I can say that having two coffees before 8 a.m. is wild. But you know, hey. This is what it takes to stay afloat. Brendan Daly, again, here's another little, you know, little unveiling of the curtain. All right, I'm a Leafs, Steve Spagnuolo, got a nice 10 minutes out of him. Hey, once he knew he was only talking to himself through a computer, we got to a nice, comfortable pace. I'm going to leave him. Brendan Daly's talking right now. Now, Brendan Daly, obviously defensive line coach. He knows Tom Brady, used to work with Tom Brady. Quietly, as soon as the game was over in November, he went straight to Tom so that they can have a nice little chat. Did they know then? Getting to Brendan, okay, hit the button, click in, here's my email, here's my name. Let's see if I want to raise my hand. I kind of like to feel the room. Okay, what's he talking about? All right, I see it. Got a little Chris Jones. And then they called on a gentleman from Ireland. I'm not going to do the impression, but it is as thick. I mean, it is authentic. That is cayenne Irishman coming out these speakers. And he referenced a phrase that I haven't heard in a while, and it made my heart it gave me a nice little lift. It, like, picked me up off my feet. He said, is it your responsibility? And again, imagine this in like a legitimate Irish accent. Shout out to our Irish brothers and sisters. He said, is it your job to get a fire in his belly? And if I was Brendan Daly, I just would have lost it. I just would have been like, well, that's more of football. Like, it just makes me think of football and soccer. Get a fire under your belly and run, you know? Clear it! But, you know, again, this has nothing to do with Chiefs, Buccaneers. I just want to tell you what.
It's just been such a weird 2 days. It's just been such a weird 2 days.
Brendan Daly has to not break face, even though Amir just said, is it your job to put a fire in his belly?
Travis Kelce said that Patrick Mahomes has a little frog in him. I imagine that as like he's got the Iron Man, the Tony Stark thing in his chest, but if you open it up, there's just a tiny little frog just hopping around in there, just a little like aquarium, the source of all of his power. Little frog.
Look, I spent my morning, and you know, I don't get to do the things that you guys do. I spent my morning screen grabbing a homemade video.
Yes.
Of a between the plays confrontation that was posted, then deleted by a Bills fan because they thought it made Chris Jones look bad, but it actually showed 76 kidney punching him. So unpack
that a little
weird
more
too.
Unpack that another level because Nate and I are both delirious and you sound cogent.
Ah, well, I was due. And so there was a tweet that made the rounds after the Bills-Chiefs game, or maybe even during, because it was a decent size.
From the stands, right?
Well, no, the video was actually, because it got replayed very briefly during the broadcast. And someone tweeted out, I don't remember who it was. It was a media person, and said like, oh, no penalty here. And that led to a lot of Bills fans saying a lot of things about Chris Jones. Basically, what you see from the broadcast view is Chris Jones, who's kind of sort of tangled up with the lineman, turns away from him, then turns around and just clocks him. Mm-hmm. And the guy flops. I mean, come on. There's no way. He was wearing a helmet. Come on. Nobody believes you. That a punch. And look, Chris Jones is a strong dude. Now, maybe he karate chopped his neck, which would be hilarious. And I get that Jones has some heavy, 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 heavy hands. Mm-hmm. So fair enough. 76 goes sprawling. And my guy, Mitch Morse, in the only time he's ever been wrong about anything ever, started pointing at Chris Jones, you know, telling the ref, call the flag, call the flag. And so a lot of people had a lot to say about it, calling Chris Jones a cheap player, about, you know, the Chiefs getting all the breaks, which is just the funniest thing that people think that. That's the new thing, you know. The refs want the Chiefs in the play. Yeah. Yes.
This is a quick tangent and also a cross promotion, but Beards McFly, producer extraordinaire at Sports Radio 810, he does this thing every week called Sad Fans on Reddit. After a Chiefs game, and whichever group of fans have lost, he goes through their Reddit game thread and will grab a bunch of their comments of them being sad, and then he reads them segment. And then bleeps them. It's such a good bit. It's excellent. But man, it is referee and broadcaster heavy at this point. There is a lot of Tony Romo and then a lot of bleeping. There is a lot of the refs and then a lot of bleeping. That is not how things used to be around these parts.
Yeah, and that's things are very different now. It's like, yes, noted giant market Kansas City is who the NFL. Now, I get that Mahomes, you know, people want to call Mahomes the golden boy, fair enough. But the dude earned it. He scrapped and clawed his way to it. So, I mean, if you have a problem with easily the best player in the NFL being the face of the NFL, that seems more like a you issue than anything else. It's like, oh, it should be Josh Allen. Should it, though? Like, should it really? So, anyway, so a Bills fan on Twitter thinking, so they took a video from Arrowhead with a really nice camera, by the way. It's very, very clear. From the opposite perspective of the broadcast view to where you can see the offensive lineman. And she posted this, I would assume. She has since deleted the tweet and blocked me, by the way.
She blocked you?
She did. Oh, I was even going to tweet at her and just say, hey, look, it's not personal. It's just, I mean, this is what I think it shows. But there's no time. So you can clearly see 76 wind up and kidney punch Chris Jones, which, look. Jones is going to be the subject of attacks like this because guys usually can't beat him between the whistles, and they know that maybe you can get him to react, yes. Which, you know, if that had gotten him ejected, that would matter. And so he can't react. It was still not smart by him, and I'm sure he knows that. Hopefully a bunch of people told him that, like, that was dumb. Don't react, because it's always the reactor who gets penalized.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the funniest thing that someone, and this is, you know, this is, we're all guilty of this through fans' eyes, that she would post this thinking that it was like going to show cheap Chris Jones is. And it's like, you can see the dude kidney punch him. Like, it's right there. And then it's like, oh, crap. And then they delete it, which, because intrepid reporter that I am, I anticipated that. And there's a reason why I'm able to show clips of games, folks. It's because I know how to record my video screen and the moving pictures. And so, yeah, so that's out in the world if you want to look at it on Twitter. Because I thought I was taking crazy pills when looking at it from the other angle. It's like, man, it looks like his hands move. But, you know, I'm not going to give that sort of benefit of the doubt and assume he hit him. Then you see it here. It's like, that dude hit him. Like, just right in the kidney. So, anyway, my week's been weird, too. Now I feel like I belong.
There we go. We're all in the same space at this point. I got to give a quick shout out. I was going through, we may have time to take a couple of questions at the end of this episode today,
a couple that
slipped through the cracks last week. I didn't even ask for new questions, we just have more. But there is I'd like to give a shout out right now to Jordan Williams. So I just saw he tweeted this to us whenever I asked for questions for the last episode. And he said, what do you think of Mahomes' stats now that he has played almost 30% of the games of a certain Hall of Fame quarterback? I created a tool to help keep your number up to date. If you click this link, QBcompare.com. I don't know if this is Jordan's creation or if this is something that he has just gotten the specifics of this. I'm not sure. But the link goes straight to just comparing Patrick Mahomes and Troy Aikman career stats.
Let's all take deep breaths.
It just updates in real time. You can go regular season, playoff, both. And so you go both, and Mahomes has played not quite 30% of Aikman's career snaps, or career starts, actually, but he's won 40% of the games, has 70% of the passing touchdowns, all of the rushing touchdowns. They're tied 10-10. And 33.33% of the Super Bowl wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll just update, I guess, in real time, which is an incredible, incredible tool that I am just outrageously grateful for. Oh yeah, this wow. So QBCompare.com, it says, how do you come up with this in the FAQ? This app was inspired by the Times R's podcast on The Athletic. Joshua Briscoe explained to Seth Kizer and Nate Taylor the comparison of Patrick Mahomes' stats to Troy Aikman's stats based on percentage of games played. So this is an OG, like, this is a handmade, bespoke website basically made to compare Patrick Mahomes and Troy Aikman. Although I think you could do it with more quarterbacks, probably.
This is our offspring. And we need to accept it and cherish it and treat it with the love it so desperately deserves.
You wanna compare Jamarcus Russell to Brett Favre? I just did. I don't know why those are the two dudes I thought of, but I just did. This is incredible. This site is incredible.
That is so cool.
Wow. I might just do this the whole show. I don't know what you guys want to talk about. I know it's Super Bowl week and whatnot. In fact, I actually do know what we're going to go to next, and it's going to also be with thanks to a fan submission. But this is my favorite thing ever. Wow, that's very exciting. Thank you, Jordan Williams, at JordanW0213 on Twitter. That is going to be a very fun toy.
Hey, hey! Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Why don't we talk about something that is very Super Bowl specific before we maybe do some more of the storylines and some work I know you guys are doing right now. Shout out to Keith for, I don't really want to thank Keith for this because I had to read it, but sent in by Keith, Charlie Casserly's got his keys to Super Bowl 55. They are available on his Twitter. There's some very slick graphics. There are four of them. You get some for the Bucks offense, one for the Chiefs offense, one for the Bucks defense, one for the Chiefs defense. The first one that got tweeted out was the Buccaneers offense, and the very first key there.
Here we go.
Here's how the Buccaneers win the game. Their first key.
We done tried to tell y'all.
Is win the time of possession, keep Mahomes on the bench, and win on first down. Now that is at least two keys under one key, maybe three. But how are we still doing this? Like then his third one is run the ball. Outside at the DEs and inside versus the ILBs, as if there's any other place you can run the ball other than inside and outside. Like, that covers it all. That's all of it, Charlie. Win time of possession. Keep Mahomes on the bench. Folks, how are we still doing this?
This now means that the Buccaneers need to win the time of possession by 1 second and lose by two scores.
Okay. I'm gonna, I guess, for a detailed view one more time, because we might have new listeners.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And
credit to you for making it this far. If you are new.
Here's the analysis that comes back again. And I cannot state this enough. And for people that have heard it before, I will try to be brief and it'll give you a thing to say. If you want a detailed analysis, look up the article on The Athletic. Is controlling the clock the best way to slow down the Chiefs offense? Best way to slow down the Chiefs offense? There, it had a question mark at the end. That was by Nate, myself, and Ethan Douglas, who's an analytics guy who does a great job at The Athletic. Here's the long and short of it. You can look, and this is what I did, at every single game the Chiefs have lost, and you will not find evidence for the controlling the clock narrative. You won't. But what about, nope, not that game either. But what about, nope, not that game either. Josh, you and I played that game the other day.
Not that game.
AFC Championships playoffs, you know, that's what everyone starts with. The Chiefs had the same number of possessions as an NFL average. The Rams game, that was a shootout. There isn't an example of them losing that way. They averaged 31 points in their losses. What about Indianapolis in 2019? You mean where Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Eric Fisher didn't play and Mahomes was on one leg the entire time and Damian Williams dropped a touchdown pass and LeSean McCoy fumbled a ball away on what would have been a scoring drive? You mean that game? Yeah, sure. If all that crap happens, that should really help you out. But it's just... So here's the long and short of it, but the simplest way to explain this, well, control the clock, keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. He's always going to get the ball back. Always. They take turns with the ball in football. And the fact that we've allowed this to promulgate, like, and apparently I'm taking direct responsibility for this. It's my fault that I have allowed this to promulgate. Look, all you're really trying to do when you say control the clock is limit number of possessions to where high variance events matter more. So if there's only 9 possessions for each team, then a fumble will help you more than, you know, it would if there were 11 possessions. You're basically saying we're the worst team of the two, and so the higher the variance, the better off we are.
Yes.
Here's the problem. You have no idea on knowing whether or not those high variance events will favor you or hurt you, because if you're the team that fumbles the ball away, it's going to hurt you more than it would with a higher possession game. The other thing is, if you're running the ball, you are making yourself less efficient consistently. And so you are, in a way, unless you run the ball really, really well all game, which I guess could happen, you are sacrificing your own efficiency and your own ability to score touchdowns for the purposes of lowering the variance. So unless your defense is doing the same on that lower number of possessions, now follow me with this, it's not going to matter and you'll just lose in a lower scoring game. Does that make sense?
Yes.
At this point, I'm the wrong person to ask because I cannot leaping believe we're still having this conversation.
So that's just the way to look at it is you are voluntarily using a less efficient mode of moving the football to lower the number of possessions by 1 or 2. And you're not even ensuring. You are using a less efficient mode of moving the football, hoping that your defense plays well enough that the Chiefs don't score quickly a few times and ruin everything. Because if you have this 8-minute drive and then the Chiefs score on a bomb to Tyreek Hill, guess what? It equalized out and you're still going to have just as many possessions. So you are lowering your efficiency without even reassuring that you will accomplish the thing that you're hoping to accomplish, which is not that likely to give you the result that you're looking for. That is not a valid game plan. It's just
I want to give you another stat that I had not seen, and Connor Christofferson wrote about it over on Arrowhead Report. And this little snippet, it's just another way. This is going to just ride with everything that Seth just said. It's just another thing. In the Chiefs' 10 worst games by total time of possession under Mahomes, the Chiefs averaged 10.2 drives per game. In the Chiefs' 10 best games by total time of possession under Mahomes, the Chiefs averaged 10.7 drives per game. There's a 0.5 difference from the 10 worst and 10 best games by time of possession. It's just another one of those numbers to show that there is a margin of error difference in the most extreme examples of control the clock, keep Mahomes off the field. Sorry, I just wanted to get that extra one out there.
I was just going to say, just score 40.
That should be the first key. The first key should be score 40.
Just score 40 or 37, because that's what the Patriots did in the one time the Chiefs have lost in the postseason under Patrick Mahomes, and perhaps get a coin toss. And you can build a 14-0 lead executing at one of the highest levels I've ever seen in terms of controlling the clock and the tempo. People always forget in that game, Tom Brady threw a horrendous interception to Reggie Ragland in the end zone. And then in the second half, when things got a little bit more stabilized in terms of how you normally would play the game, Tom Brady threw another interception. So, yes, Tom Brady was he was good in that game. I'm not going to say he wasn't, but he had more mistakes than actually Patrick Mahomes statistically. It's just they had one extra possession because they got the ball when overtime started. As I like to mention, when the Patriots beat the Chiefs 37-31, the Patriots had 12 possessions, the Chiefs had 11. So all this is to tell Bruce Arians, go get 40, run a couple fake punts, and do your best Sean Payton impression, and don't give Patrick Mahomes the ball back when the second half starts. Just run an outside kick. I'm just waiting for somebody to treat this man like he's Peyton Manning in his prime.
Seth, did you have anything else, or are you good now? I'm just so beside myself that people who get paid to talk about football can get this thing so blatantly wrong. It's genuinely frustrates me.
It's not great. You know, at the Super Bowl, you're supposed to be rising to the occasion, getting it all down, you know, really enlightening the listener, viewer, reader. I think we just gave a glossary. Nobody wants that. They want better information than just running the clock.
It's hard to move away from a traditional way of thinking about things. I would argue that maybe you can like really, really in lower levels of football where running the ball becomes much more important, like starting at college, right? Running backs matter a lot more in college because you don't have that same really high level everywhere, right? Yeah, and then right. In high school, it's even more important. And so it feels like the one of the things that we're fighting is that these are axioms of football that in some ways can be true at different levels. But the NFL is a different animal than every other level of football. And I think that's part of where the problem comes from. And also it's things that sound sensible on the surface, but aren't once broken down, are one of the hardest things to really deconstruct. Because the minute you start really breaking it down, people get annoyed. They're like, I don't have time for this. And I get that. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add on it. Other than it's just not really the correct way to think about this. And if the Buccaneers go in just trying to, you know, run the ball a ton, unless they have an incredible day on defense, and then it'll be more about their defense than the run game, right? That's not a way to beat the Chiefs. It's just not. So, I don't know. They could try a bunch of other things. I'm excited to see what they do. They're a good team, a well-coached team, but that's probably not the route I would go.
Do you guys know that Patrick Mahomes has 44% of Trey Aikman's total passing yards in 30% of the games?
I am aware.
70% of the touchdowns. Oh my God, you can click it and then it gives you a little chart. You can go, oh no, it gives you a little graph. Oh boy, this is excellent. This is even more exciting than I thought it was going to be. let's talk about a couple other things that have kind of bubbled up here over the course of this week that has been 2 days. And then also some stuff that's coming around right now. I mean, Nate, you mentioned all the coaches talking today. I found today a little more insightful than yesterday because at least we get to hear from some of the coaches that kind of set. Occasionally, they'll say a couple of things here and there. Spags is pretty good about it also.
Mm-hmm.
But we're obviously, this is kind of a two-part lob that I'll let you guys figure out where you want to go. Because I know Seth just wrote about L'Jarius Sneed. I know that Seth would have written more about Juan Thornhill again this week if we didn't just do the Juan Thornhill conversation. Right. But specifically, one thing in this game that, you know, we're spending all this time on the pass rush versus the offensive line. Rightfully so. I get it. But you look at what we've talked about this here a million times, what the secondary has been entrusted to do, as Seth has pointed out. Any one of those guys can get matched up with anybody else, and Spags is going to have faith in them and say, you know what, you hold this matchup. Well, this is as good of a receiving core as they're going to have faced all year, except for when they played Tampa earlier. And they're at a point right now where it seems like maybe they figured out, they've gotten more time with Antonio Brown. It seems like everything is really firing on all cylinders. So I'm curious, Nate, what you heard from not just Spags, but the defensive assistants today, and then Seth, I'd love for you to jump in and talk a little bit more about L'Jarius Sneed, because everybody loves talking more about L'Jarius Sneed right now.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, Steve Spagnuolo basically alluded to the fact, and this sort of confirms Brett Veach's line of thinking shortly after the AFC Championship game, that, you know, you're always a little concerned if you're really high on a guy and, like, some of your peers are not. And, you know, I think Steve Spagnuolo alluded to the fact that, like, hey, I looked at his tape and was like, wow, he can do a lot of things. Now, I'm going to kind of explain it here in the second part, but the original thought was, no, we graded him pretty high, and, you know, we got great value with him at the fourth round, but the best thing is that L'Jarius Sneed's going to be, I assume, who he's always been. Like nothing has really... in a lot of ways, you know, disrupted his meteoric rise to being like Pro Bowl caliber, like cornerback slash, you know, slot guy slash, I don't know, you want to put him at safety? I'm sure he'll be successful there too. So, you know, no traditional offseason program. Training camp was a little wacky. Obviously, he filled in for Rashad Breeland the first couple of weeks, played out of his mind, honestly, came back and really got into a groove pretty quickly. But in all of this, it sort of shows that the way Spagnuolo and Brett Veach and Dave Merritt and Sam Madison, the two other secondary assistant coaches, they all want flexibility, versatility. And what Juan Thornhill told me today, Josh, was that when they're in meetings, they're not talking about slot, outside corner, dime corner, you know, strong safety, free safety. They're just saying, okay, what are the DBs as a whole doing? Which is interesting philosophically, because it forces guys to communicate just a little bit more, because you're not solely focused on your position. You're seeing your position and how it sort of is connective to whoever the guy is next to you. And then overall, as we talked about in the last episode, and especially in regards to Josh Allen, why guys moving all of a sudden in pre-snap makes a lot of sense, and they're able to do it at a very smooth level. I don't know. I think there is a time where I would be shocked about L'Jarius Sneed, and I've finally come to that point where I just won't be shocked anymore. if it happens, I mean, the dude is really, really good. And I'm interested to know that with his playoff experience now in two games, with Juan Thornhill coming back, and as we mentioned, how great he looks, just how many more things can they show Tom Brady, which not a lot of teams even have the opportunity to do in a playoff setting, let alone the Super Bowl. And that gives Steve Spagnuolo a slight advantage, just because they're so flexible and they're so multiple that guys can play various positions and they don't feel uncomfortable.
That was a really good take. I wish I had more to add on that, but you said virtually everything that needs to be said on that in terms of their versatility and interchangeability, what allows them to do. I think one thing, I'm trying to think desperately of something good to add to that. Oh, well, here we go.
I'll point in a direction, Seth, because do you mind?
Quarterback,
you
like this thing.
Well, so, I mean, because you're right, Nate covered a ton of stuff that's very specific also to this game and the success they've had so far. The one thing that I think is interesting, that just sort of a checking back in, is as you look at Sneed and you're looking ahead to the Super Bowl and all of that, you were waiting on the Sneed review. You're pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off because, as you've said, you've been hurt before by a large number of Chiefs corners who have had one excellent season and then never really repeated that performance. I'm just curious if you got what you expected from your reviewing Sneed, and if you are in fact ready to be hurt again.
I am going to reserve whether I'm ready to be permanently hurt for when I chart every snap of his during the offseason. Here's what I will
Fine.
Say. I just reviewed every snap.
This is like, how many words is this? This is like a 2,000 word email that I have here. I'm looking at it right now.
I looked at the, that's just from reviewing every snap of the AFC Championship and divisional round, and then looking at like probably like 100 other snaps over the course of the season.
That's a lot of snaps, and you're not willing to give me anything? I just want to update.
I didn't chart up for win losses specifically yet.
Give me an update on how you feel.
I have not seen anything that Sneed is bad at. Like, nothing. He is very fast down the field. Like, he is tough to beat down the field. But he's also quick in and out of breaks. He's physical. He's maybe a little overly grabby, but not that bad.
Let me teach you these hands, sir. Yeah,
Bashad will jack you up if you are a slot receiver and you get it in. And maybe they'll call it. Maybe they won't. Hey, but if they don't, you're not going anywhere.
Hey, Josh, were you available for the Bashad Breeland show earlier today?
I saw some portion of it. I don't remember. I blacked out at some point.
He basically told us that he's going to be at a one-on-one boxing match on the outside with Mike Evans.
You love to see it.
It was glorious. I enjoyed it.
He And just on a side note, we can get back to this at some point because the Chiefs do have interchangeable guys, but Bashaud Breeland has a little bit of a different skill set. Mike Evans is a great receiver.
Yes.
I don't want Breeland on him all day with no help. But Mike Evans is kind of like that Mike Williams type, that bigger, stronger, not quite as quick receiver that Bashaud has, generally speaking, done his best work against. So we'll see. Because again, Mike Evans, great receiver.
Really good receiver. Yes.
I mean, So Bashaud, he likes those physical matchups. He's like not a dude that's going to be like, oh no, this receiver's putting hands on me. He's going to be like, oh, this receiver's putting hands on me. It's going to be like this. And so what I would say with Snead, he's willing to be physical and he's good at it. He's got good length to do it. He's strong. He tackles well. He contests the ball well. He catches well. I haven't seen anything that he's bad at. He closes quickly. He's missed a tackle or two, but not very often. Less so than most cornerbacks do. So he doesn't do anything bad so far. So basically the only thing I'm going to be able to say is he looks really good, like really, really good. And not just good at a few things, but good at everything. I'm guessing, and Nate, I know you've talked about this a little bit. I'm guessing, you know, they've got him in the slot right now because that allows them to use Matthew. They like Ward. They like Breeland. But I'm guessing he's going to be a full-time 100% of the snaps dude next year because he's good. And he's good at blitzing. He's good at everything.
Yes.
I mean, they've asked him to start blitzing like late in the season, and he's got a sack in 4 straight games. It's like, oh, okay, I guess. He doesn't overcommit. You should see, on his sack of Josh Allen, he had to bend around the edge and corner to him. Like an edge rusher. And he did it. And so he looks really, really good.
Again.
And it adds.
Go ahead.
It adds a lot to the secondary in that it's just one more really, really good player. And one who I would say, as of now, is playing at a higher level than any of the other corners. And that's not because Breeland's playing poorly. And Fenton and Ward are not necessarily playing poorly. It's just that Snead looks like a cut above. And you add that in with Juan Thornhill, who, by the way, I mean, he tweeted out while we were recording. He tweeted out, 1 hour, 60 minutes, 3,600 seconds. That dude is so ready for the Super Bowl.
Ready!
Like, I cannot believe he does not have odds for MVP because it would not surprise me with Brady's proclivity at times with under pressure. It would not surprise me if Juan had a pick. Not at all. But when you bring in Snead and Thornhill's healthy, we talked about this a little bit the last show, but it can't be emphasized enough. The secondary is playing really, really well right now, and Snead is a massive part of that.
It seemed like you want to back in, Nate. I was going to leave that door open for
yes.
you.
I don't know how we all whiffed. This is like one of the great mysteries and why the job is fun, because sometimes you know, and sometimes you're like, I have no idea. But at every turn this year, I just looked around and be like, he a rookie? You telling me this dude's a rookie, right? He ain't had no preseason games? He had no preseason games. What? Yep. Like, every time I'm just like, but he's running step for step with Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
He led the league in receiving. But you telling me he a rookie? Did they just put an R on his stat sheet? They put an R on his bio. Is he 35 with kids? Like, I don't know. I just don't understand this. How did y'all not find him? You know, I got questions for a Louisiana Tech, which quietly. We gonna get some answers on that. Just wanna tease that. We may get some answers from the folks at Louisiana Tech. Shout out to the Bayou. But I need some, like, I know he was playing safety because y'all had no safeties. But y'all gotta be pumping y'all's dude up. Like, what? So that's my luxurious Snead, I guess, bit where I was watching the AFC Championship game with, like, kind of my mouth open because I'm like, but like, he can't get open. But, like, I just looked up his stats and he has over 14,000 yards. He can't get open.
Did Did Nate break his microphone by hitting the desk just then? Did that just happen?
I know. I get the wrangling about my hard typing. I type with conviction.
It really sounded actually significantly worse there for a second. I think we're okay. I think Zoom may have just needed a break after that very loud series of noises, but I just wanted to make sure.
That's just me checking ESPN and The Athletic and NFL.com. Like, this man led the league in receiving. He couldn't get open.
That's one reason why I'm very curious about this game, because I'm hearing a lot of talk about the Bucs receiving core, and rightfully so. Right. Yeah. I mean, Evans and Godwin are an incredible duo. Scotty Miller is apparently faster than Tyreek Hill. Long pause.
Let's see if I can put Scotty Miller and Tyreek Hill in that quarterback comparison.
Always punch up.
No, kids. We don't want to compare Tyreek's quarterback attempts. Those have been bad.
Always
punch up for sure. And so Scotty Miller, but he's a good receiver, very talented. They've got a fourth receiver. I think Tyler Johnson, I want to say his name is. Now, obviously, he's not a huge part of the game plan because my job is to analyze this stuff, and I barely remember his name. But he can get open. Fair. Like, they are not – and they've – Brait and Gronk, a really good pair of tight ends. But when you look at the All-22 of what the Chiefs did against Buffalo, it's not like Buffalo – I mean, Buffalo has Stephon Diggs, who I would say is better than Evans or Godwin. Not by a ton, but he's better. They also have John Brown, who is not bad. He's a good player. They also have Cole Beasley, who's apparently an all-pro, but I'm going to go with...
Hey, I will take no besmirching of... Did y'all see what Cole Beasley had? He was out there playing with a broken leg!
That's true.
Getting receptions out here. Oh, you want some of this little shake and bake? I'll get a shake and bake on a broken leg. Josh, I'm always open, baby. I'm hurt, but I'm open.
He is an excellent, excellent slot receiver.
Also, if you want to fight about Cole Beasley's Pro Bowl vote, you got to be the one that Peter King gets mad at this year, and then Nate's up next season.
Yep.
Cole Beasley, you are in my heart, son. I have so much respect for your courage. I will vote for you at a moment's notice. There is a time where Cole Beasley caught a pass, fell out of bounds, and was like, is my leg broken? F it. I'll get back out on that field. But y'all down 20.
And you're right, Nate. He's a better receiver than Tyreek Hill. I agree. You're right. What?
And so they've got a really good receiving core. Remember the conversation leading up to the week was, how in the world are the Chiefs going to stop this offense? Mm-hmm. You know, they averaged more points per game in the regular season than the Chiefs did. They're a really, really good offense. A better offense than Tampa Bay was this year. And the Chiefs secondary blanketed those guys. And now we'll see, because very different type of challenge with Godwin Evans. Tom Brady's a very different type of quarterback.
Yep.
And so there's you never know. One thing does not necessarily predict the other. But people aren't talking about that enough. And it's just, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what they do. Other than, and you can basically, if they had a bet on this, I would tell you to sell your house, put in your life savings, bet on this, that they are going to blitz the crap out of Tom Brady. That is going to happen.
You think so? You think they're going to do it for a second game? Just like, here it is, dog.
I think you're going to see a combination of the two, just like they did in week 12.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be one snap, they're sending like nine dudes. And then the next snap, they're pass rushing, you know, Derek Nnadi and Chris Jones and Frank Clark out in coverage. Like, I really think it's going to be really, really varied. I also, just on a side note, and I know we talked about this a little bit beforehand, if I'm Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, I'm picking up the telephone, looking through my old contacts list, maybe dudes I don't talk to that often but have their number, and I am calling a New England area code, and I am calling William Belichick and saying, hey, you don't want Tom to win that Super Bowl, do you?
Right, right.
Bill, we know that you see some stuff that we haven't seen. What would you do? Is there anything in the rules against teams consulting like that? I don't think there is.
Now, look, there's a disturbance in the force. And I know this alliance puts great things in danger. But for this moment.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're Spagnuolo, I mean, like, if I'm Andy, I'm, like, monitoring that entire call, by the way. Like, I'm his lawyer. It's like, Steve, don't you say anything to him about Andy. Don't you say anything. But
just listen.
You could call Bill, be like, hey, Bill, what would you do? You know, you coach Tom for a little bit. You've seen their offense this year. What would you do? Because Bill Belichick is arguably the greatest individualized game planner in the history of the NFL. Steve Spagnuolo's great at it. But why wouldn't you call Bill? You can't convince me Bill Belichick wants Tom Brady to win that game.
I just feel a great cloud in the force. I don't. If we take this meeting, you must proceed with great caution. Okay.
Yes.
Great caution.
Maybe
I tell you.
Lawyers present. Maybe like limited to written communication only. Like
it's gotta be on a rotary phone. Like you cannot let him connect to your smartphone where you save photos and files.
That's why God created burners, Josh. It's just it's like be, it says in Job chapter 2. See, this is a fake Old Testament reference now. And then Joe
hard to tell the difference sometimes
to complain about what is going on.
My family.
You gotta go to the back of Walmart and get one of those flip phones in that impossible to open plastic. You gotta get a couple of those. You gotta mail one to Bill and just say, hey, you're gonna get a phone call here in 3 days at noon. And we're gonna you pick it up, we're gonna chat. And that way you're not accidentally giving up. You absolutely cannot FaceTime him from your iPad in the office because he is reading the wall behind you.
Your spyware account about to be through the roof, dog.
There are not enough firewalls on planet Earth to successfully make that FaceTime work. It is burner phone, rotary phone at most.
Look, I'm gonna need you to somehow break out of the plastic that Josh referenced. And know that as soon as you hang up this phone, the DEA is going to be on you in 20 minutes, okay?
Yeah. Do you guys ever remember those YouTube videos of that one, like, incredible blender that could just blend anything? I don't remember what it's called. I'm going to find it. But, like, your phone cannot have an SD card in it by any means, and it just needs to go straight into that blender. Yep. And then, like, with some the blender contents
and look,
are the phone, and then some bleach just to be the liquid that helps everything get moving. And then at the end, you just got toxic sludge and you dump that out. Yeah. You never talk about it again.
But just know the DEA is still going to come knocking, even though they know that you've already destroyed the evidence. As soon as you break the plastic in that phone, prepare your lawyers and prepare the stash. Okay? Like, that's just the way the game works. It's the way it's going to be, where it's always going
to
be.
I'm trying to find the name of this blender from, like, the, I don't know, late 2000s. It was just like a whole thing. It's just how incredible this blender. How incredible that. No, Google, I do not want to search for gerbil in a blender at all. No, Google, what? No, what is wrong with you? No, thank you, Google.
Okay. Anyway,
very strange. All right, what else is on your guys' mind here? We have a couple of questions. We could cook through a few questions to cap off the show. Or we could save the rest of our very, very, very serious analysis that's going to come in probably Thursday morning. At least we'll probably record Thursday morning. Should have out maybe Thursday afternoon, Thursday night. I don't know. I don't know when Danielle's on a plane. Danielle's on a plane at some point.
I'll cut in. Remember, we're going to do Friday morning.
Friday morning? Are we doing Friday morning? Yep. Love it.
I'm flying out Thursday at 7.
All right. So we're gonna do it Wednesday morning. And if it's not out by Wednesday afternoon, just tweet Danielle over and over and over and over and over again.
Not Wednesday.
On Wednesday morning. Just start tweeting Danielle. Oh, I was about to put on my calendar for February 12th. That probably would be even later than people would want. So we'll figure that out when we get there. But with all of that noted, we'll talk more. We'll look, you know, if there's any more news that breaks. Oh, look, Nate, you want to give me 30 seconds on the COVID little blip on the radar? That probably would have been good to mention 52 minutes ago.
Yeah, all things point to DeMarcus Robinson perhaps being back as soon as Friday. He is not positive. Daniel Kilgore kind of on a similar track. They just need to be cleared through the contact tracing. And, you know, apparently the team tried its best to say, hey, guys, we know you will probably want to look nice for the Super Bowl photo. Even in the circumstances, it's unfortunate that the barber that the team was using, who was going through the testing program as well, ended up catching COVID, and I guess the last two clients he had were Daniel Kilgore and DeMarcus Robinson. Both players, I was told, have not tested positive. Nobody on the team tested positive as today on Tuesday, February 2nd. You're going to need to see that happen, obviously, for the remainder of the week. And I believe, and I didn't really factor this in last time as to like whether the team would leave Friday or Saturday, but I think Reed is smart to say, let's do it like we would do any other regular season game. It sucks that we're not going to be down there for like the usual festivities, but I assume the team will go through Saturday, make sure that everybody is yet again and negative in terms of testing, and then they'll fly to Tampa Saturday, late morning, early afternoon, and then we'll be off for kickoff. But the whole point of this is that DeMarcus and Daniel need to come off the COVID-19 list by either Friday or Saturday morning with more testing, more negative results, and obviously staying isolated from the team. Now, if they are on the COVID list and they do come off on either Friday or Saturday, they will have essentially one walkthrough to get ready for the Super Bowl. Not ideal, but, you know, they're veterans. You know, they've both played in this game before. So if you need them to be productive, you would hope that they would rely on that experience. And obviously they are getting the IPAC cut-ups in the game plan and the playbook for this opponent. But I think Reed wants to fly, make sure everybody's safe. And then Saturday night, you're basically going through a modified walkthrough and a very quick meeting. And you just tell the fellas, all right, get a good night's sleep, get some breakfast, and we play the Buccaneers.
That was probably a pretty good analysis. I wasn't really paying attention because you know that Patrick Mahomes has half of Dan Fouts' passing touchdowns and career wins in about 30% of the games.
And Dan Fouts was he was a guy.
Dude could play.
30% of the games for Mahomes versus Terry Bradshaw. 54% of the passing touchdowns, 51% of the passing yards.
Don't mention Terry Bradshaw out here in these streets, okay? Like, I mean, if we got smoke for Troy Aikman, this does not go well for Terry Bradshaw.
Let's blast through a few questions real quick. Did you want to add anything on that? You didn't want to add anything on the COVID. That was a dumb question. Yeah, Seth, you don't have any secret COVID information, do you? I'd be really surprised if you did.
I don't.
Excellent. Let's do this one then from Parker. What's your dream uniform combination for both teams on Sunday?
You go first, Nate, as the man with much better style than I have.
I want... So the Chiefs are in red. We understand that. They'll be wearing the home jerseys, even though the Buccaneers had, I guess, the preference. I don't love the Buccaneers pants with this shade of red, so I would go all white versus red on white. It's... Okay, if this were Madden... I would,
yeah, really, really get funky with it.
If this were Madden, I would take y'all back to opening day, 1993, Joe Montana walking into the big sombrero. Give me them creamsicle unis, man. Let's go.
I think that's by far the most fun answer. Chiefs red over white. You give the or maybe the Chiefs have to wear white, yeah, so the Bucks can bring out the creamsicle. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that.
Did they wear the creamsicles at all this year? We just not doing that?
I don't think
they
had throwbacks this year. Damn. I'm trying to figure out what their combinations were this season because there's a series of them and some of them are better than others.
Yeah. I think they can't wear the creamsicles because isn't there a stupid rule where teams can't have more than one helmet?
That's exactly right.
Oh,
that is absolutely
for
true.
Reasons or?
That well, no, that's
No, just a stupid NFL rule. Well, then, like they can't have more than one.
Spray paint them bad boys and let's go.
The whole world wants creamsicle versus old school Chiefs uniforms. The whole world wants that.
Like, absolutely.
I don't understand. I don't have a uniform take, but I think you'll forgive me when I tell you that Patrick Mahomes has 51% of the touchdown passes that Joe Flacco had in his entire career.
How are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
50%. This is just so, like, this is so...
He was throwing to Anquan Boldin and a bunch of dudes. Why are we doing this?
Is that not fair to him? You know,
probably
you
not.
Know, that's something that I'm sort of curious
about.
Steve
Smith's on them teams. Like, Steve Smith, I mean...
So, did you know that Derek Carr has been playing since 2014? And that Patrick Mahomes has almost 70% as many passing touchdowns as him.
No!
And more rushing yards already.
He's only in year three, kids. He's only
This is the greatest site I've ever seen. It's like QBCompare.com, right?
QBCompare.com. Yep, that's exactly right.
This person who set this up was, I don't think he realized what a great thing he did here.
I don't want to start anything here, guys, but counting playoffs and regular season games, Patrick Mahomes has started one less career game than Chad Henne, but he has 200% of the passing touchdowns. And you know what? Only 122% of the passing yards. I would have guessed way higher.
All right.
Chad Henne has 13,000 career passing yards. Are we sure?
I'm gonna give one legend, and I'm gonna give one near and dear to my heart, just 90s deep cut. I'm terrified to compare him to Steve Young. And I thought
I almost did.
Steve
I decided
Young
not
so
to.
Good. He was so good.
Steve Young was so good.
He was so good. And another one, again, just a deep cut. Run me the Jeff Blake numbers. Run me the Jeff Blake numbers.
Oh no.
Run me the Jeff Blake numbers.
Okay.
Here's the Jeff Blake numbers.
I got
here was go ahead. Here's Nate. What Jeff Blake was good at. It was like 1994, 1995, I can't remember. But all of a sudden, the Bengals started to be interesting, kids, because Jeff Blake was like,
wait a minute. They started the exact same number of games.
Wow.
Oh, no, they didn't. I lied.
Okay.
Well, 46%. So he started 46% of
no,
the
No, but if you go, if you hit both, it is, you're right. I if you're on playoff plus regular season,
yeah.
It's, well,
oh,
no,
he
wait,
played
hold on.
None. So,
no, now I'm confused. Maybe all I right.
No, I just said something stupid. There's nothing confusing.
No,
about it
also it either happened. It also happened to me. That's all right. We're in this stupid boat together.
We're going to leave out playoff because that's not fair to Jeff Blake because he didn't play in any.
Jeff Blake was someone that I just loved because he realized, hey, man, I'm on the Bengals. I'm living. I got one life to live. You only like YOLO. Let this thing fly.
Let's let this thing fly.
He had one of the prettiest deep balls I had ever seen as a kid. And I was like, how are the Bengals not good? And then you realize there's like, you know, they're just not a good roster.
So I've got bad news for you, Nate, that probably sometime barring injury in 2021, Pat Mahomes is going to pass your childhood hero, Jeff Blake, because right now he has 85% as many passing touchdowns in 54 fewer games.
Yeah. And it goes, as they say, kids, it goes by quick.
You absolutely have to check out QBCompare.com. This is very good. I got one more question that I've kept in a tab since the last episode from Chris Plant, because I also need to just give the shameless shout out that if you like video game podcasts, and I can say this because The Athletic doesn't have a video game podcast yet, there's a podcast called The Besties with Chris Plant and three others. It's just a wonderful podcast that needs some new people to click it. So I would say go check that out if you like video game podcasts. And I found out the Plant was a listener to this show after I'd already been listening to The Besties. It was wonderful. So a little Kansas City-based connection there. And he's also got a Kansas City-based sports question. If you had to add one Royals player in history to the Kansas City Chiefs,
come on,
who would you choose and why? You can't all choose Bo Jackson,
right.
Is what he says in the thing.
Yep, I saw this. I was, let me roll my sleeves up. Let me think this through real quick. Anybody want to?
I got my
you go first.
I got two answers, I think. I am listening here. I might have three. I'm going very modern also. All three of these are very modern. Do I think that Lorenzo Cain might be able to make something happen? I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a bad answer at all. But listen, man. Speed kills. Oh. I'm out here for Jerod Dyson. If Terrence Gore wants a contract, you don't think Terrence Gore could come back and just run some motion in that backfield? You don't think he could come be, you know, McCole Hardman light? We could teach him how to field a punt. I feel pretty good about all three of those guys. And I'm just going speed, 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 speed. Because frankly, I don't even think Eric Hosmer was like a big baseball player.
Yeah, kind of slender. Yeah.
He's not playing linebacker.
Nah.
He's not linebacker big. I'm going speed all the way through.
Can I give you two answers? You want to go first, Seth?
That's what speed do is what I mean.
We're about to find out that Seth has not really followed baseball in about two decades.
I was going to let you have Bo Jackson. Actually.
Yeah,
okay,
you're
going to be mine.
Yeah, you have Bo Jackson.
You know, I'm going to go with a random player when I actually watch the rest. I'm going to go with Chico Lean.
Ooh. I mean, that's what I.
What round? Should what I round, know what round is Gary Gaetti? I want Gary Gaetti out there.
That's pretty good.
A little Joe Randa action in, at the safety position. I mean, who you want, Daniel Sorensen or Joe Randa? Straight up.
Ooh, I want my safety to have a mustache, so Gary Gaetti does it for me.
My two thoughts were okay. I'm, you know, it's crazy that Andy Reid has evolved out of the scat back world that he used to have. Mm. It's just crazy. But Gerard Dyson has the scat back. Just give him the ball in space. Let him do his little Dexter McCluster on.
Lorenzo Cain, 6'2". There might be, maybe he could. I don't know if that's going to be big enough in this offense. I think maybe you have him flying around there. Maybe he's your Dan Sorensen replacement.
How have you not mentioned Country Breakfast as a guard?
Great question, man.
We just feed him Joes, and we say, look, 6 months from now, let's see your get off on the snap at the guard.
Dan
position.
Sorensen and Lorenzo Cain are both 6'2" and about 210. This might work.
I didn't realize Lorenzo Cain was that big a dude.
Nah, he could fly, man.
It's got some size. It got some speed. I would love start. Listen, the Chiefs' offensive line's been battered this year at left guard. Billy Butler. What?
No. What? His name is not Billy Butler on the roster. It is Country Breakfast.
It says Breakfast. It says Breakfast 69 on the back of his jersey. That's what it says. No question.
And when the Chiefs score touchdowns, he just does the Gerard Dyson, that's what speed do. Just
yes! Oh, that's perfect. I hope that. I could really use that visual in my life. If someone wants to even just Photoshop that, I'd take it. That's it, though. That's the end of this episode. We'll have more media, more news, I'm sure, and then plenty to break down in Friday's episode to take you all the way through the Super Bowl. There is going to be a absolute ton of stuff at every angle from all three of us. You can follow Seth on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Also check out the Chief of the North newsletter. The Legarius Sneed piece is already out. You're doing more of kind of the other guys' stuff, Seth. Is there anything I'm missing that's coming this week in the newsletter?
No. I'm just planning on looking at a couple of the other guys, day job permitting. We'll see how it goes. If nothing else, maybe I'll just do a little more blurbs.
I like blurbs. Yeah. Blurbs are great. And then also, there's a big piece coming on The Athletic, looking at what the Buccaneers would need to do to win this game. Nate had an excellent piece on Madden back in Madden in 95.
Yes, Madden 95.
Tells a story about a person who I had never heard of, and now you have to give a tremendous amount of credit for the fact that Madden is what it is now and goes back behind the scenes at EA. Really great work, Nate, and a very fun piece if you care about video games at all. And really just the history of a football icon, because I don't think you can tell the story of the NFL's success in America without talking about Matt.
This is correct.
So it was a great read. You can check that out there. And then, Nate, I imagine you're going to have a whole lot more coming over the next several days.
Yep. It's time to start unloading, as they say, in the run-up to Super Bowl Sunday. Real quick, I talked to some fans. They were great. It's always cool when you call somebody and they already know your voice. So I don't want to give the names yet because I want people to read it in The Athletic, but we're getting close to that. This might be the last time I write about Wasp. Like I may put it away because, you know, it's on to Super Bowl 55, but that'll be coming out. I got some stuff on obviously the defense. Again, it's Spags versus Brady. I mean,
it's really exciting.
Real quick, I always tell people they hired this man for one job. Go be Tom Brady. Like that's the only reason they hired him. Well, not the only reason, but I'm whittling it down. But big headline: this guy has beaten Brady.
Yep.
We are trying to win the Super Bowl. This is 2018. So it's just fascinating again how this all works, that the guy goes across to another conference and he shows his face yet again. And look, it'll be fun. But yeah, there'll be some stuff on the offense as well. But I mean, go read the thing that Mike Sando and Ethan Douglas wrote on Travis Kelce, who we've been saying forever, just established the Kelce. This man's a Hall of Famer. And he's quietly more productive than Gronk was at the peak of Gronk's powers.
Uh-oh.
I also just saw, here's two other things on the way out. One, Andy Reid was on Colin Cowherd's show today. We were going to make a lot of fun of Colin Cowherd at some point. Now I'm starting to get a little nervous. I'm starting to get worried that I might have to eventually Venmo somebody $20 for asking Andy Reid a question about Colin Cowherd that I'm now second guessing. Nate, there was a tweet that made the rounds last night.
Mm.
I'd like to end the show on this.
Yes.
There was a question asked of a well-known Yahoo football writer, reporter, personality.
You say, huh?
Anita on Twitter tweeted, "Hey, @TerezPaylor, have you ever heard @by Nate Taylor's impression of you? It's pretty good, just saying." And Terez responded with no punctuation, no emojis, no emotion.
I
am aware of its existence.
I feel a darkness in the force. I feel great pressure. I think Therese likes me.